John, good morning.
Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Thanks for joining us on the program this morning.
It's good. It's a pleasure.
Now, I must admit, I have a personal vested interest in this one because I am in the seat of Bennelong. And let me tell you, I have never seen such a hard-fought political race. The flyers, the signs, the trucks, the volunteers have been absolutely everywhere.
Well, I think there's a chance that they've overdone it, right? I think the message from the last several elections in Australia is that the electorate's pretty well sick of, you know, traditional politics and the major parties, and here they're being forced to go to what's about your third vote in about 18 months, isn't it? Because you've had the federal election, same-sex marriage vote, you've had local council elections. Yeah, so I think people are getting a bit fatigued, I suppose, of the democratic process. And there's been a lot of exaggeration and name-calling and so on right through this process. And so I put that down basically to a lot of noise in the process. It's probably not cut any particular direction. I think something like 10,000 people have already pre-polled on this one. So, you know, a number of people have made up their mind. But I think there are two key factors that are at work. One is, of course, the possibility of a protest vote against the Turnbull government. And the other side of that is something of a sympathy vote in favour of John Alexander for having find himself in this position over the dual citizenship matter. And we saw in the Barnaby Joyce by-election that was quite a significant factor. And I think, you know, they're working against each other. I don't think the Chinese factor is going to be that determinant. I know the Chinese account for China, people of Chinese origin account for nearly 20% of the voters in the seat. But Chinese don't vote as a bloc, and most of them have come to Australia to build a new life for themselves and their families. So they're pretty keen on the major issues, you know, like cost of living and good government and so on. But having said that, I think if you look at the numbers, the traditional swing in by-elections is a bit less than 6% on average. And John Alexander's margin's between 9 and 10. So there'll be a swing against him. I suspect the swing may not even be as big as the normal average. We'll have to wait and see. It could. I think the polls are saying, most of them are saying, it's pretty tight.
Mm-hmm.
Come down to the wire, but I'm not so sure that's the case.
Well, it is intriguing to me because, as you mentioned there, the polls are basically 50-50 at the moment, or the news poll certainly is, and some of them are, hedging a little bit more John Alexander's way. But as they say, the only poll that really matters is the poll that, the poll when you're actually standing in the booth with the pencil in your hand. So you don't make much of those kind of projections?
No, I think, you know, the polling's a bit mixed. I mean, it's hard to say how those competing factors that I mentioned will cut. You know, how big is the sympathy vote? Is there going to be a significant protest vote against the Turnbull government? I mean, I noticed both Turnbull and Shorten have spent a lot of time in the electorate. I think people have tired a bit of the number of robo phone calls they've got from various candidates. And as you say, there's been saturation just about everything right throughout the seat. But I do think there's a feeling that the major parties have not really, you know, they've sort of lost touch with the electorate. And this has been a global trend against major establishment parties. You've just seen it in a whole spate of European elections. It's certainly a factor in the Trump election, although he technically was a Republican, he ran as an outsider. You know, there's a lot of concern in the electorate that governments are not really delivering. And so the protest vote could be significant, although whether they use this by-election to make a substantial protest vote against the Turnbull government, we don't know. I suspect not so much this time, but we'll just, as you say, wait and see how the numbers stack up tomorrow night.
Again, speaking as somebody who is living in the Bennelong electorate, I must say the attack ads against Malcolm Turnbull have really been, well, one of the biggest pieces of advertising material, signs even on the back of trucks, that I have seen sort of around the electorate, really going after Malcolm Turnbull. I just wonder, John, the differing styles. Christina Keneally, she's been very visible in this kind of thing. They've been very engaged with social media. And I must say, as somebody who also plays those little mobile games, Labor's had real engagement on some of the mobile devices and advertising digitally there as well. Less so, I'd have to say, from the Libs, from the Coalition. These different styles.
Well, I think part of it is, of course, money. I think the Labor Party's poured a lot more money into this Because this is one they really want to win. They want to try and get rid of Turnbull's one-seat majority in the House, make government, it won't be the end of the Turnbull government, but it'll make his government much more difficult. He's got support from minor parties and independents on supply and confidence, so he would continue to govern. But they'd like to take this as a sort of a strategic victory, a step in the direction of Shorten becoming Prime Minister. So they've poured a lot of time and money into it on the back of Christina, who's a good candidate. And in that sense, I mean, they're very hopeful. But I'm not sure that that's necessarily, you know, gives you the outcome you want. People get saturated with all these various avenues that have been pursued to get a message to them. And sometimes they just sort of step back and say, hang on, I mean, what's all this about? You know, I'll make up my own mind. So you just don't know. A lot of that campaigning, particularly with social media, is still, I think, in its infancy.
Mm.
People are still working out how best to handle it. And, of course, you do run the risk. I've heard, Vox Pop-type interviews with people that have said, you know, I've had all these phone calls, and how do they get my mobile number? It's very intrusive into my life. I mean, I'm sick and tired of it. Now, who knows how they'll vote? They might just protest against that, you know, and abstain or, you know, vote informal or something. Who knows? These sort of reactions, I think, we're still finding out. But you just notice that in the German election recently, they put very tight restrictions, I should say, on campaign advertising and so on, which changed the nature of the campaign. So it'd be interesting to see whether we go that direction in Australia, because campaign reform is becoming fundamentally important. Reform of campaign funding, obviously a key element in that, but the restrictions on advertising and other ways in which to improve the standing of the traditional parties, I think, will dominate a lot of thinking in the next few years in Australia.
Well, John, I really appreciate your insight into this one. Like I say, it's been a very interesting campaign. Very interesting to see what actually happens at the booths tomorrow.
It'll go silent, definitely silent on Sunday, won't it? All those phone calls, text messages, whatever.
Business
looking around for something to do.
Yeah, business as usual, I'm afraid. John, thank you very much. Really
Thanks
appreciate
so much,
your time.
Mate.